Thank you, Dave. Good morning. We also could have sung Happy Birthday to Our Nation, of course, 239 years ago yesterday, the Declaration of Independence was signed. 12 years later, the Constitution of the United States was ratified, having been signed in 1787. It was ratified in 1788. And then in 1789, that fall, a Bill of Rights was proposed. 10 of those original 12 amendments to the Constitution were accepted and ratified and declared to be our Bill of Rights. The first amendment of that guarantees the freedom of religion, speech, press, the assembly, and petition. This morning I would like for us to consider together freedom of speech. I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, as we consider together freedom of speech. We're going to reflect a little bit regarding this freedom of speech as a freedom that we have as American citizens and also those who are on our shores and who are blessed to have this same freedom, though not citizens of the United States of America, yet by being here, they're able to enjoy some of these same freedoms that we do. But before, in our minds, a priority that comes before that freedom as an American is our freedom of speech as a Christian. Not a Christian in name only, but a born-again believer, follower of the Lord Jesus, one who has come to Christ for salvation, recognizing ourselves as sinners and Him as the only solution to the devastating eternal problem of sin. And those of us who have come to the Lord Jesus and have received Him as Savior, accepted Him, trusted Him, recognized Him as Lord, and bowed before Him, receiving that free gift of eternal life by receiving Him, we too have received the freedom of speech. Whether or not we're American citizens, whether or not we're in the geographical land of the United States of America, every believer in the Lord Jesus has a freedom of speech that we did not have before we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's read together, if we could, in Mark chapter 7. We'll begin at verse 31. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, He, the Lord Jesus, came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to Him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged Him to put His hand on him. And He took him aside from the multitude and put His fingers in his ears. And He spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, He sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then He commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more He commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." We live in the United States of America. Theoretically, the whole nation is a free speech zone. We understand that there are limitations on that speech to some degree. And of course, we also see around us that the freedom of speech is becoming more and more limited. I look at it like we have somewhat of a love-hate relationship with the freedom of speech as Americans. Because there's that sense in which we want to be free to say what we want to say, but we don't always want other people to be free to say what they might want to say about us or about something that's important to us. So we have an ongoing struggle, as it were, in our nation regarding the freedom of speech guaranteed to us, as I mentioned before, by our Bill of Rights, the very First Amendment, guaranteeing us that freedom of speech. And as we celebrate our nation, as we celebrate the 239th birthday of the United States of America, we also are celebrating those great freedoms that we have. The land of the free and the home of the brave. We pledged allegiance to the flag and to the nation for which that flag is a symbol, and we spoke of it providing, not the flag, but the nation, providing liberty and justice for all. Freedom. We rejoice in freedom. But again, as believers, we think about the freedoms that we have in the Lord Jesus. And I trust that all of us who know Christ as Savior would always prioritize the freedoms we have in Christ far above any freedom that a human government may choose to place upon us. As thankful as we are for these freedoms, we know that those freedoms can be taken away. One day they may be removed from us. But the freedoms that we have in the Lord Jesus, the liberty which we have in Christ, the freedom from sin, the freedom from the law, freedom from bondage that was ours before we trusted Christ as Savior, that can never be taken away from us. We can give that freedom up. We can choose not to exercise that freedom, but the freedom itself can never be taken away from us. And as we look here in Mark chapter 7, we read concerning the Lord Jesus that in coming back to the Sea of Galilee, the area in which he had grown up, we find him there with a man brought before him, a man who had two particular physical issues in his life, both of which can picture for us spiritual issues. One was that he was deaf, he couldn't hear. And probably because of the fact that he couldn't hear, he had an impediment, a problem in his speech. He was able to speak to some degree, but because he couldn't hear, he was not able to speak properly. He was not able to say things in a way that other people could understand because he was not able to hear what they were saying. And so they brought this man to the Lord Jesus, pleading with Christ to please heal this man of his condition. He can't hear. He can't speak properly. And of course, as we think about ourselves before we came to know the Lord Jesus, and any who are here this morning that have never trusted Christ, you would be pictured in this even now. Not able to hear truly the things of God because we read that they are spiritually understood. And the Spirit of God, we praise the Lord, is here this morning to enable us to understand the Scriptures. He lives within every believer to open up the Word of God to us that we may clearly hear and understand what it is that God is saying. And He's also here this morning to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, particularly to those who do not know the Lord Jesus. And He's seeking to pierce the ears spiritually of those who have never received the Lord Jesus. And unfortunately, sometimes he's having to try to pierce the ears of those of us spiritually who do know the Lord Jesus, because our hearts and our ears can become hardened. But because we couldn't hear the things of God, neither were we able to speak the things of God. Oh yes, we could say them. We could read a passage. We could even take what someone else had said or come up with thoughts on our own and present them to others. But they were not empowered by the Spirit of God because we did not have the Spirit of God living within us. We had never received the Lord Jesus at that time. We had never recognized Him as Savior. And when we did, the Spirit of God came within us and we became new creatures and we received freedom. And one freedom that we received was the freedom of speech. The Lord Jesus healed this man in a very unusual and interesting way. As he put his fingers in his ears after taking him away from the crowd, putting his fingers in his ears, of course the man couldn't hear what he was saying. But it's as if he was showing the man, I'm going to do something. I am going to give you hearing. I am going to enable you. I'm going to touch your ears. I'm going to do a miracle. And then it appears that he spit on his finger. Now, we know that he spit, but it appears that he spat on his finger and touched the man's tongue. Again, seemingly symbolizing to the man, I am getting ready to do something for you. I'm getting ready to do a miracle, not magic, but a miracle from God to enable you to speak clearly. And sure enough, astonishing the people beyond measure, this man walks back to the crowd and he can hear what they're saying and he can speak clearly. He now has the freedom to speak plainly, to express himself. The things that he is hearing now from the Lord Jesus and from other people, he can turn around and he can express that. Well, it's very interesting what the Lord Jesus did there. Not only in the way that he healed the man, but then he commanded, as often he did, that they would not tell anyone. At that particular time in his ministry, it was his desire that the word would not spread about his miracles, not at that time, for a particular purpose. That was his desire. But it was so interesting to me here that the man couldn't keep his mouth shut, neither could the other people. So here the Lord Jesus is telling people, don't go and talk about this, and they went and talked about it. But as we'll see this morning, so often today when the Lord Jesus does not have this restriction on us, but rather he has told us to go and to tell, and yet so often we don't go and tell. It's interesting, this word that we find here, that's translated in verse 32 as an impediment in his speech. That's the only time that this Greek word is found in the New Testament. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it also is only found one time. I'm going to read that for you. It's in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 to 6, speaking of the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. And it says there, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf, that's the word, shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb, dumb, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. So there the Spirit of God in verse 6 uses that same word, the tongue of the dumb, the tongue of the person who has an impediment in his speech. He shall sing. It reminds me of a man, Charles Wesley. You can see the date of his birth and the date of his death there. But 1 year after Charles Wesley was converted to Christ, he had been a religious person. He was seeking to serve God, but in reality, his tongue was not loosed. He had an impediment in his speech for Christ because he was not truly born again. But after coming to know the Lord as his Savior, after understanding what it meant to be forgiven by grace and to have the joy of knowing he had a relationship personally with God through Jesus Christ, he wrote a song, and we still sing it today. Originally, it had 19 stanzas. We only sing about 5 of them. It's called, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And in one of the verses, it says, His praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. You see, I would suggest this morning that each of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, in a sense, have heard the Lord Jesus say to us, Ephphatha, Ephphatha, be opened. And our ears have been opened, and in a sense, our mouths have been opened, our tongues have been loosened, and the question is now, what are we going to do? What are we doing with our loosened tongues. We're going to talk this morning very briefly about four freedoms of speech that believers in the Lord Jesus have. And here's the whole focus of the message. This is the question that I want you to put in your own mind, in your own heart, and meditate on this as we go through briefly these four freedoms of speech. This is the question I want us to ask ourselves now and when we leave. Am I properly exercising my right and responsibility regarding these four freedoms of speech? I put that there, right and responsibility, because we know even in our own nation, the rights that we have also carry with them responsibilities. The freedoms that are ours are merged with a responsibility to rightly use those freedoms. And in Christ, the same is true. We have liberty in Christ, and the Spirit of God tells us through Paul that we're not to use that liberty for ourselves. We're not to use that freedom to give an excuse for the flesh to do what we want to do. And in the same way, every one of these freedoms of speech are to be employed. Our loosened tongues are to be employed in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 tells us that the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And in that same chapter, verse 12, Paul speaks of himself and those who work with him. And he talks about the hope that they have in Christ. And he says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. I want to challenge us this morning that as those who are living in the United States of America, we have a couple Bahamians here this morning, and I know they live in the Bahamas, but they have freedom of speech there too. So it applies to them as well as to all of us. We have the freedom in our nation that many believers in the Lord Jesus in this world do not have. So I would suggest that we have a double responsibility. We, like they, have these freedoms in Christ. But we, unlike they, also have the freedom legally. And the question is, are we properly exercising these rights, these responsibilities regarding these four freedoms of speech? The first freedom is this. We have the freedom to speak to God about God. The freedom to speak to God about God. And we would call that worship. Now, this is not the only worship. We know that we can worship God with our lives. We can worship God with the decisions we make. We can worship God with the choices that we make. But there is also the freedom and the right and the responsibility to worship God with our loosened tongues, to employ our loosened tongues in worshiping Him, in speaking to God about God. Look over at Psalm chapter 66. Psalm 66. And here we find a wonderful example of speaking to God about God. And maybe you've never really thought of it in those particular terms, but when we worship God, we are telling Him what we think of Him. We may be telling the Father how much we appreciate the Son. Or we may be speaking to God, the Trinity, as one, and sharing our heart's appreciation of the attributes of God, the wonderful characteristics that we see revealed in the Scripture, what God is doing in our life, what the Lord Jesus has done for us, what we see by His promises that He's going to do. And we can go back to God and tell God how much we love Him. Look here at the 66th Psalm. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Notice verse 3. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name, Selah. And we see here the psalmist speaking to God about God? When is the last time you spoke to God about God? When you told Him how thankful you are for Him, for who He is. We have the wonderful freedom to do that at any moment, no matter where we are, silently or audibly in Christ. We have the freedom to enter into the very throne room of God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We can draw near. We can draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. We can approach God with our worship. But that worship, I would suggest, is not just to be silent, but to be audible. We have the great privilege here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel every Sunday morning at 9:30. Those who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, not those who have reached a certain level of maturity, but rather those who have humbled themselves before God and recognized the grace that we have in Christ Jesus, and that it's all of Him and not of us. And so we want to come and remember Him and offer back up to Him the worship that He gives us by letting us know who He is and seeing what He does. And we can come there and audibly we can praise God and we can worship God. But again, it's not only the individual and not only the corporate, but as we go out into the world, when is the last time you said in a public place, "Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord"? Have you said that where other people could hear you? Oh, what an opportunity to speak to God about God in front of others. You see, we have the freedom to do that in our nation. What a testimony that is. What glory that brings to God when we see something positive occur in our own lives or in the lives of others or even in our nation, and we give the glory to God right where we stand. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what your coworkers would think. I don't know what your neighbors might say. I don't know what the person in the grocery store might conjure up in their mind if they hear you do that. But I would encourage you to do that. We have the freedom to speak. To speak to God about God. Can I ask you this morning, are you properly exercising this right and responsibility to speak to God about God? Number two, the second freedom to speak that we as believers have is to speak to God about people. We might call this intercession, intercessory prayer. Again, we have the privilege of going before God and lifting up the needs of others, spiritual, emotional, mental, relational, physical, material. We have the great privilege of going before God and praying. Look back at Genesis chapter 18, a familiar story in the life of Abraham, a true story, not a parable that was told to give us instruction, but a true narrative of an event in his life which is used to give us instruction. And we're not going to read all of this as you come down toward the end of the chapter, particularly starting in verse 20, where the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down and now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know." And as God looked down upon Sodom, of course, He already knew what was going on in the cities of the plain. He already knew the wickedness that was there. But firsthand, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, taking on human form, comes down and talks with Abram. And Abraham, with Abraham, his name has been changed. And here, look at what Abraham says in verse 23, how he intercedes, how he talks to God about people. And Abraham came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And we can read on down about how he continued to intercede for the people of Sodom, for Lot and his family, and for the other inhabitants there. God listening to the words of a man who would come before him in faith and humility, saying, "I know that I really don't have the right in myself to do this any more than we have the right to go into the presence of God and intercede and to talk to Him about people. But in Christ, we have that right. We have that freedom to come before Him." In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." The privilege of going into the presence of God and doing that not only privately, which we should, in our prayer closet, and we should never do it so that other people could think highly of us, but we should do it that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That should be our motivation to pray, not only privately but corporately, to come to the prayer meeting of the assembly, to recognize that God, yes, hears us when we're alone, yes, but He also desires for us to come together, and He says, "I'm there when you meet together in the name of my Son. He is there, and I want you to come, and I want you to lift up the needs that you have and that others have," and not praying primarily for yourself, but for others. And then even in the public square, we think about a man like Tim Tebow, who got a lot of flack for praying. I don't know if he was praying for other people or not. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But he was willing to pray. Why? Because he knew he had the freedom to talk to God about people. We see students sometimes gathering. We see groups getting together. We see families and individuals and people meeting together out in the public. And do you have that habit? I hope you do, that when you go out to eat that you pray, whether you're alone or you're with others. And if you're with others, then you can pray out loud, not to aggravate everybody in the room. That's not the purpose. No, the purpose is to come and to talk to God about people and to not only thank Him for our food, but to lift up the needs of others, particularly those who were under coming destruction, spiritually speaking, and in many times physically speaking as well. Having the opportunity when you're out with another brother or sister in Christ and they share a need, to stop right there where you are and to pray for that individual right there where you are, not being ashamed of praying in public. It's sad when we see those who follow false religions being quicker to pray in public than the believers in the Lord Jesus. May that not be true of us. What an opportunity. Kim and I were at the hospital the other night, Friday evening, stopped by to see Barbara. And we weren't able to see Barbara. The doctor was working with her. But as we walked down the hall, we heard someone say, "Hey, Shelley's." And there in the waiting room on a Friday night was a family that Kim knows. And we went in, and the lady's mother had fallen, was having hip surgery. They were there alone in that waiting room. And what an opportunity. It would have been even better maybe if they hadn't have been alone. But an opportunity to pray with them. We're not sure if they're saved. But to pray with them and to lift up their needs right there in that public place. And I want to encourage you. Our loosened tongues have been employed. And you might say, that's easy for you. That's not easy for me. Well, it's not necessarily easy for me. But our loosened tongues have been given to us for a reason, to put in the employment of the Lord Jesus to use for God. Oh, let's move on as our time moves on. And thirdly, that freedom to speak is one I think that we would probably think of pretty quickly. And that's the freedom to speak to people about God. Witnessing. Witnessing of the truth of the gospel. And then not only to unbelievers, but also the truth of the gospel to believers. And how God is working in our lives and what God is wanting to do in their lives. But primarily here I'm thinking about sharing the gospel. Over in Acts chapter 5, we read about the apostles being put into prison because of their faith, because of their stand for the Lord Jesus. And in Acts chapter 5, I'll give you a moment to turn there if you'd like to. Acts chapter 5, in verse 19. Acts chapter 5 and verse 19. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." Speak to the people. Now look down at verse 28. And the next day when they're called out there doing exactly what their loosened tongues were given to them to do, speak to people about God, they're questioned about that. And the questioners say, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus has said, "Ephatha, be opened. Our ears are open. Our mouths should be open because our tongues have been loosened that we might talk to people about God. That we might go out and speak to the people all the words of this life. That we might declare to them about the Lord Jesus who was hung on a tree, but has now been raised to life and is at the right hand of the Father as Prince and Savior, the one who has given repentance to all who will believe, the forgiveness of sins. And he has made not only Peter and James and John and the other apostles, they're not the only ones who are witnesses to these things, but you and I, who have the Holy Spirit living within us. And we are to obey God rather than men. And people might say, "I don't want to hear it." Well, if that person doesn't want to hear it, let's go and find someone else. And I'm challenging myself in this as well, that we have the freedom to speak to people about God, and with this right comes a great responsibility. Ezekiel 33:8. The Lord said, "When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. To whom much is given, much will be required." And we have the great privilege of having the freedom of speech in our nation to share with others all the words of this life. Paul prayed and ask others to pray for him in Ephesians chapter 6, that with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that they would pray that utterance might be given to him. He said that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to talk to God about people, including one another. Lord, help my brother. as he seeks to open his mouth boldly for you. Lord, I pray for my sister that she might go and speak to the people all the words of this life. We all need prayer in that area, that we might go and we might speak to people about God. Are you exercising this right? You may not be able to give all the words of this life to everyone to whom you come in contact. It may just be a gospel tract, but can you say the name of the Lord Jesus when you give that tract to them? And here's something about the Lord Jesus. Here's something about my Savior. I'd like for you to read this. Can you speak for Him? Are we properly exercising this right and responsibility to speak to people about God, and finally, to speak to people about people? And you might call this intervention. Intervention for reconciliation and justice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, Paul says, "Great is my boldness of speech towards you." We have the freedom to go to one another and to share with one another words of exhortation, words of comfort, words of rebuke, words of instruction. Being willing to speak to people about people from the Word of God. Going also and speaking to people about people. In Proverbs 31 verses 8 and 9, when we're told to open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who were appointed to die, open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. There we read about those who are still speechless, those who don't have a voice. We read about those who are condemned. We read about those who are poor and needy. And these could speak spiritually, but also practically. And we have that responsibility, as well as that great freedom, to speak to others about the situation of the unborn and the wombs of their mothers who were not able to speak for themselves. And yet, they have been created in the image of God, and their mothers oftentimes are choosing to abort them before they ever get a breath of air. And we can speak for them to other people. We can speak about those children who are neglected and abused and trafficked around the world. We have the privilege, the freedom. We can speak to others about that and share the plight of these people who may not be with people who may not be aware of what's going on. We can share about orphans and the situation that they're in and the opportunity that we have to make a difference in their lives. We have the freedom to speak about minorities that are under oppression and that are being mistreated in our nation and in other nations because of the color of their skin or the language that they speak. And we have the great privilege and freedom in our nation to speak for them. We have the freedom and the responsibility to let other people know about those who are being persecuted for their faith in the Lord Jesus, as the apostles were. And that's going on in plenty of places around the world today. And we are free from that. But in our freedom, we have the responsibility to let other people know about that, that they can pray for them, that they can intervene if they have authority in which to do so. We can pray for those, but also we can speak to people about those people who are being oppressed. And we can speak about the issues of our day. When it comes to same-sex marriage and our Supreme Court making a decision against what the Word of God says, we are able to speak freely regarding that in the public square. But always, in our freedom of speech, may we, as Paul admonished the Ephesians to do in chapter 4 and verse 15, may we always speak the truth. May everything we say be true. And may we say all the truth. May we be willing to go out into the public square as believers in the Lord Jesus. And may we be willing there in the public square even to speak to God about God and to God about people. May we be willing and bold to go out and to speak to people about God and to speak to people about people. Those who are oppressed, those who are condemned, those who don't have a voice for themselves, may we be willing to go out and to speak the truth. But brothers and sisters, may we always do that in love. May we also always have the love of the Lord Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, being love. May that always characterize our tone of voice. May that always characterize the motivation of our hearts, that we might go forth into the world and that we might represent the Lord Jesus while we have the freedom legally to do these things. The day may come when we'll be called upon to do these things without the legal freedom, but still having the freedom in Christ. One day we may be as the early church. One day we may be as our brothers and sisters in many countries around this world. One day we may be called to speak the truth in love, and we don't have the freedom granted by our government. Right now we have both of those. Are we properly exercising the right and responsibility to speak to God about God, to speak to God about people, to speak to people about God, and to speak to people about people? May we take these things to heart. And we're going to close in prayer, and our brother's going to come, and he's going to play the verse of a hymn. Can I encourage you to just meditate on this little phrase right here that's before you, and also on that question about how you individually are exercising that right? I'll be doing the same. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace toward us. We thank you for your grace which has been shed upon this nation. Father, we just praise you so much that you would choose for us to be living in a place where we have, among our many other freedoms, the freedom of speech. And Father, though we may at times be frustrated because we see freedoms being taken away or limited, Father, may we focus rather upon the freedom that we still do have in this land. And may we be good stewards of that freedom. And Father, above any freedom that we have as an American, may we be exercising the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus. Not a liberty for us to use for our own fleshly pleasures, but rather freedom that we're to use for the benefit of others, for the exaltation of your name, for the privilege of interceding for others who need you and sharing the gospel with them and intervening, Father, on behalf of those who are in need. Lord, we just thank you for intervening on our behalf, for sending your Son. Father, we thank you that you sent him, God in the flesh, to come and to give his life for us. Father, we thank you that he intercedes now for us. We thank you that through him the gospel has come to our ears and we're able to share that with others. May we be faithful to do so. Father, may we do all of this not in our own energy, but rather in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we not do this primarily out of duty, but a response of love to him who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you for loosening our tongues. Might we employ them for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.